Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on October 4th, 2015, and is entitled, Our Bedrock Salvation.
Father, I just come before you right now, Lord, and I lift up Pastor Paul. I lift up this congregation to you, Lord. And I just pray for a softening of the hearts, God, as Pastor Paul gives his message, Lord, that it just pierces the heart, God. We walk away changed people. I lift up the Jai family to you, God. Thank you so much for Pastor Noelani and Ed, Lord, and just that family. I pray for a covering right now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, and I pray for blessings over this day, our Sunday, God, and for just signing up after, Lord, that you just move hearts, God. And we ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well done, Sarah. Thank you. Very good. You did a great job. I'm excited. Well, friends, I'm going to 1 Peter chapter 1, where that's going to be found. How many have your bulletin and your Bible now, right? You situated, you opened it up. This day is actually October, the first Sunday in October. And if you're not familiar, many have been setting aside the first Sunday of October for a number of years now to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, according to Psalm 122, 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So it's important because we recognize a lot of things are going on in our own nation about around the world. And that's why we've entered into this sermon series, as well as just encouraging people, oh, please, get into a small group here at Hope Chapel. We're going to believe that not only do you have much to give, but there is a set of people that have much to give to you. And so that safe haven, as we're finding morality is plummeting in our society, and sometimes even the questioning of whether we can trust in God's word or not, we need the Lord to assist us, and we need you to assist those that are around you. So please consider, let's get into a mini church. You'll see that inside this, the insert of the bulletin today, as well as let's consider being a part of what this series is all about, because we recognize Peter is addressing a group of Christians that have been scattered due to persecution, oppression, and trial. So we're sensing God is trying to say something to each of us, say something as things could become something that's more challenging and more maybe intrusive to what you would consider your life and what it is for a happy environment. So let's take a moment, just for a moment, to pray for Jerusalem, shall we? Father, thank you for that. Lord, we just lead right now for your goodness to bring salvation and healing and victory to Jerusalem and for those souls that need Jesus. Lord, bring a victory to where the gospel continues to flourish right there in that center of the planet called Israel. We want to thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Michael, can we just cut that right there? That'd be good. We're looking here at 1 Peter chapter 1. Our series has been entitled Building a Forever Faith. That we're looking at 1 and 2 Peter. That's our series this fall. But we're looking here today as we continue on 1 Peter. We're looking at our bedrock salvation. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at three verses today. Verse 10, 11, and 12, the bedrock salvation. God's wanting to remind us of some things, and that's especially how unique and wondrous is the salvation you and I are enjoying. And isn't it amazing how God saves people? Now, I'm grieving still over what happened in Roseburg, Oregon. I'm sure you're familiar with that. We almost can become accustomed saying, not another shooting. But there come stories of people that have had heroics, and how about that one young man who decided to bar the door to keep the shooter back, but yet the five rounds that entered his body, miraculously, he's still alive. It's one thing to say, ah, man, I've saved some lives. Isn't that great physically? But far better is when we see how God, or even ourselves, are used by the Lord to see people saved from eternal damnation. And that's better, far better. And we're seeing here that that's what Peter is doing in and to his audience. They are oppressed. They're feeling downcast. They're in the midst of a trial. They're running for their lives. They've been kicked out of their own country, some of them, and their family scattered. They're not even sure their family members around the Middle East are alive, and Peter's trying to encourage them with a message about salvation. And that's what this first chapter really is all about. Matter of fact, it's a theme that flows through the epistles of Peter, the salvation that God has brought to us. It's an amazing encouragement. And if you've ever seen people who are oppressed, they always look down. They're never looking at the horizon of hope. They just can't see it. They can't feel it. They're always looking at the past of the pain. Horizon of hope, nothing's going to happen. Painful past, yes, that's all I know. And so Peter's trying to say, listen, man, there's a salvation. God's brought salvation to you. And it's been an amazing work of his grace ever since old times with the prophets. And that's what we're going to see today. Isn't it wonderful how when we see this word of salvation, and three times it's mentioned, even in the brief time we've looked at the first chapter. In verse 5, it's mentioned. In verse 9, and in verse 10. So let's take a look. Let's even start with verse 9, and we'll read through to verse 12. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of the salvation of the prophets, have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. It's an amazing thing. This short little segment we're reading, we have three mentions of. Isn't it amazing? Never before in other scriptures, we have prophets are mentioned, preachers are mentioned, and angels are mentioned. And we're going to take a look at all three of them, how those apply, and when God's bringing that salvation. But when we look here, God is interested in people being saved. If you don't mind, we're going to come back to 1 Peter, but I'd like you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go a couple of books to the left. 1 Timothy, shouldn't go very far. Right after Hebrews, keep turning to the left. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. And I know you want to write that down when you get into your small groups this week. Let's see who's writing down because they're going to be there. I can hardly wait. Yeah, good. Check it out. Here we have verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does God desire? All men to be saved. That word salvation is used in the New Testament 400 times. Saved, salvation, being saved. God's interested in saving people. Say, what is God up to? Why are things continuing? I'm surprised why things aren't dissolved. Man, God's giving people time to find salvation through Jesus Christ. We see it there in Scripture. It's very clear. God desires all men, regardless of background or involvement, to be saved. So how wonderful is that when we see this tremendous thing? And that's why we get into the Word, because we want to understand what is this salvation that we have. It's like a contract. I don't know if you have, I'm sure, have insurance policies with your automobile, maybe health insurance. You want to know what that contract has to say. Maybe everything where we start dealing with those areas of backgrounds and saying, okay, what does this policy cover? I want to make sure what if I am in an accident or needing medical assistance, what does it cover? That's the same with the Scripture. What does the salvation cover? What does it cover? Wouldn't you want to know? What is mine in the name of Jesus? But Peter's saying right off, and we're going to take a look at some of this as we progress in the epistles, but what we do see here is that God desires men to be saved. And first, our first note on our message is that prophets predicted this salvation. Let's look once again, verse 10. Are you with me? And of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Let's take a look at that word you. His audience are the individuals that are scattered. They are suffering. They're oppressed. He's saying the prophets predicted something. They said it's going to come. It's going to come. And it's coming now to the ones he's writing. Matter of fact, we can say this message is really to you today. This message is for you. The prophets, it was not for them. It was for somebody else. It's interesting. Letter A, they anticipated the new covenant. They were looking for things. Who were these prophets? Well, we could probably just say they were God's field reps. They were out there to proclaim the word of God. Hey, the creator of everything wants you to know this. And then he would start, or they would start to share how that there is future events that would come. Those prophets, an amazing thing when they start to declare it, it's like arrows being shot from an archer. If that archer were to take an arrow and draw back the bow and shoot the arrow into the sky, and it goes over the horizon, they're not sure where it's going to land or even when it's going to land. The prophets were the same way. They're shooting a word that God gave them. They're not sure where it's going to apply or when it's going to apply. That's what Peter is saying here. It was revealed to them, but not to them. Eventually, they started seeing that this word is not for us. It's for somebody else still to come. So that's what they would do. They would shoot that like a bunch of arrows. Those prophets out there, Daniel would shoot a few arrows. David would shoot a few arrows. I'm not sure who we're talking about. Many thought it's pertaining to the Messiah. God's going to bring a Messiah to pass. So they anticipated salvation. Everybody understood that God's going to bring in a Messiah, but they weren't quite sure. So Zechariah shooting up arrows. Man, who are we talking about? When is this going to happen? And so, letter B, they anticipated the sufferings and glory of Christ is one area. Here are 16 prophecies that the prophets spoke about pertaining to Jesus. Now, it's amazing because can you imagine with me that these prophecies, there really are 330 prophecies in the Old Testament involving Christ. Who he is, what he's going to do, what his life's going to be like. Isn't it 330? I'm going to give you 16 of them. Here they are. You may want to write them down and share them with your mini church. I know I'll go as slow as I can, but let's write them down, okay? Because I know you want to check it out. Here they are. Number one, born of a virgin. You want to see Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Number two, born in Bethlehem. That prophecy's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Number three, born in the tribe of Judah. That's Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Number four, his ministry would begin in Galilee. That's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Remember his first miracle, the gospel said, when he turned water into what? That was in the wedding of Canaan of Galilee. Number five, he would work miracles. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. That he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Way to go, everybody. Number 7, he would be betrayed by a friend. You'll find that in Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. Also, that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah gets the word from God, and it's found in Zechariah 11, verse 12. That he would be wounded, number 9, is the next one. He would be wounded and bruised. You'd want to see Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Number 10, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. That's in Psalm 22, verse 16. That he would be crucified between two thieves. That's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. We have our 12th prophecy, his garments would be torn, and those around would cast lots for them. That's found in Psalm 22, verse 13. His bones would not be broken. That's Psalm 34, verse 20. That his side would be pierced. How many know with that spear? That's found in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. You'll discover that when you see Isaiah 53, verse 9. And that he would rise from the dead. That's discovered in Psalm 16, verse 10. And that's just 16 predictions. 16 predictions. 16 arrows that these prophets, many of them didn't know the other would exist, shooting in the air. Who are we talking about? Who are we? And when will these things happen? And to have those 16 arrows land on the same someone, the odds are that just impossible, literally impossible. There's a professor named Dr. Peter Stoner. He's a professor at Westmont College, and he's a mathematician. And he puts the figures together. What are the odds? What are the chances of one person with just eight of these predictions? Just eight. I gave you 16. Just eight. And he said the odds of that would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, that just sounds like a number, but he says this is really what it is, the chances of one person having eight prophecies. It would be as if you took the state of Texas and you laid silver dollars 2 feet high on the floor of the entire state of Texas. And as you do, you mark one silver dollar, that's the one, and you mix it in there, and then you send a blind person into that mixture to find it. That's the odds of one person fulfilling eight prophecies. God's saying, this is the one. This is the one. He said to have all 16 fulfilled by one person, those arrows landing on one person. How could that happen? He says the chances are 1 in 10 to the 45th power. Then he starts to equate the distance of the earth to the sun, and he multiplies that and says, you get all those silver dollars laid out there and then that one. He says, it's impossible. So when we take a look at that, God is saying, this is my son. Now, how wonderful, because you have Daniel and Ezekiel, man, you have Isaiah. They not only just write about prophecies pertaining to the Messiah coming, they also talk about the millennial kingdom, and that's still to come. So, friends, it's not just about Jesus. It's an amazing thing, this book. This book is called the Bible. There are 25 other religious books that are out here on our planet. None of them have what this book does, which is predictive prophecies. Not the Quran, not the writings of Confucius, not the Declaration of Hinduism. None of them have prophecies. This is the only book. God, Daniel says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. How does God do that? Can go into the future and tell somebody this is how it's going to be. Man. And those prophets are getting it. And they're saying, wow, who is this about? For example, can you imagine Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 I gave to you, where it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he's thinking, who are we talking about? And when is this going to happen? That's what Peter is addressing to his audience. When he says this, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time? What? What are we talking about? The prophets proclaimed it, but they often didn't understand it. What? And who are we talking about? When will these circumstances happen? So they often would ask, who am I writing about, and what's the timing of the circumstance we're addressing here, God? So they did not understand it. Peter is saying that. They did not. They just shot an arrow. Shoo! I don't know when this thing's going to land. I don't know when God's going to do it. We're talking about somebody who's going to have this happen to them. Peter says, it's to you. And God worked it through a salvation called his son. Oh, man, what a salvation. Can you imagine when we're in heaven? God lays it out, man. You just see it as it's all known. It's like, whoa, that is awesome. We've got a book here. What an amazing God. And he used prophets who came along. So you had Isaiah shooting arrows, Daniel, Zechariah, Zephaniah. Man, these guys are out there. 25 prophets just declaring things. And they weren't quite sure. It's really like when Scripture says in Peter, they did not know the manner or the time. They wanted to. They weren't quite sure. Matter of fact, if you look in verse 12, it says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves. Look at that. Not to themselves. This wasn't for them. It was to who? He says, to us. To us. You who are scattered and in trouble. Let me just remind you, you got a salvation going on. Those prophets, they recognize, man, this is not for me. Lord, to who? And when? Some equate what the prophets were doing like 25 guys working on a jigsaw puzzle with 1,000 pieces, but they did not have the picture on the box. You know how that is? Can you imagine doing that? Who are we doing here? What is this going? Where do I begin? That's hard. Until eventually the arrows start landing in the New Testament. And now all of a sudden they start seeing it's Jesus. And the image on the box of the puzzle is Jesus Christ. Ooh. Peter says, man, this salvation's found in him. That is the way to go. So you have in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's asking, how long, O Lord? It's like, man, this is amazing stuff. How long? Daniel comes along, and Habakkuk, Daniel, in chapter 7, he says, man, this vision troubles me. And God says, seal up the volume of this book. It's for the end times. Ooh, that's all he gets. Have you ever said, Lord, what's my vision? When's it going to happen? You get just a little bit. You just get a little bit. How many say, I want to know God's will. What? Give me the details. Man, there's just a few arrows going in. Trust God. They'll land. It's always nice when they land. Oh, that is the Lord. I remember when he spoke that. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't cut and run. Habakkuk the same way. In Habakkuk chapter 1, he said, how long, O Lord? I'm seeing stuff. When is this going to happen? And they recognize that eventually the New Testament comes along. And these guys say, oh, it is. That's the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. It was Jesus himself in Luke 24, 25. I know you want to write that down. Verse 24, chapter 24, verse 25, 26. Talks to these two dudes after the resurrection of Jesus, and they are bumming because what they thought was the Messiah just was crucified, and Jesus comes along. They don't know they're talking to him. And he says, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written, ought not Christ to have suffered and entered into his glory? In other words, go back and check the volume of the Old Testament. He comes along in Matthew. Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 17, let's see. Okay, good. Look at you writing. He says, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Those prophets, can you imagine? The beautiful thing about the prophecies is really, friends, to you today. If you look at Peter's writing, those prophecies were to land right on your lap. Let me read it to you a little clearer. It says in verse 10, of the salvation the prophets have inquired, and search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to who? To who? To you. They didn't get it. It wasn't for them, but it's landing on your doorstep. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them, that's how they wrote, Holy Spirit inspired them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Can you see that there? To us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. So Peter is saying, please don't give up hope. There's an elaborate scheme. Let me draw it all the way back to the beginning of time. God prophesied a salvation plan, and it's no accident. This is not a random redemption, friends. If anybody just thinks, I think this thing in Jesus is just some Christianity thing. No. That's an Old Testament. It goes back to the beginning of time, and it started in Genesis 3, verse 15, when God said the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, and the story started. I'm going to redeem what sin has destroyed. I'm going to come. So, sure like it when we take a look at this. Sometimes people say, well, let's just kind of, you know, you just need to read the New Testament. I just know, just stick with the New. You'll get confused with the Old Testament. Well, that's not good either. We need both the Old and the New. Because in the Old Testament, you have the New Testament concealed. Who are we talking about, these prophets are talking about? What's the time frame when the end comes? What is this? It's concealed in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament reveals the Old Testament. Oh, that's why the animal sacrifices. Promissory notes for the one sacrifice that would come through Jesus. Oh, I get it. When we take a look at that, if we just had just the New Testament and not the Old, it would be like a person going out into the field and there's all these arrows from the prophets and you pick up, you got these bunch of arrows. How did these arrows get here? Who launched these puppies? We wouldn't know. We need the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament. God speaking through the Old Testament. And this message is for you today. For you today. You ever go through anything that just says, man, I'm bumming. Man, what an epistle that is perfectly set up for us when we take a look at that. Well, let's look just a little bit further. Number two, preachers. Preachers proclaim it. So we have the prophets predicted it. Preachers proclaim it. And two times in this setting, we have the Holy Spirit is mentioned. In verse 11, that came, the Spirit of Christ. And then as you look here at verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So here we take a look here. Can you imagine all of a sudden, and who are these preachers that Peter's talking about? Well, he's referring to the apostles. And Peter's the first to preach. He's the first to preach. Because in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, shaboom, Pete, who denied the Lord three times, gets the Holy Spirit in him, and he preaches a sermon. Acts 2, the whole sermon's there. The whole sermon's there. It's not that big of a message. I mean, I'm sharing some things. I'm going a lot longer than his message went, and 3,000 people have their lives changed forever. They accept Christ as Savior. See, it's an amazing thing. Holy Spirit comes upon a born-again Christian. Do we have any Christians here? Born-again Christian. And when they talk about Christ, people's lives are changed forever, forever. Peter preaches, and in Acts 4, verse 12, he says, nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he was the first preacher 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost. There's been some preachers out there. Somebody must have told you about Jesus. My radical brother Bob and these Jesus freaks are hanging around our house. Said, man, maybe there's something about this Bible and this Jesus. And man, I said, I need the Lord in my life. That's how it is. How is it going with you? You are the preachers of the gospel. People with the Holy Spirit coming upon you, when you share about Jesus, their lives will be changed forever. Now, some might resist, but God's given a witness, and he's given a witness for you and through you. Somebody preached to you, why hold it up and be the quagmire and say, no, I'll let somebody else do it. I do have people say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm a little nervous that somehow people will get upset when I start talking about church and Jesus. Well, friends, if you were to consider that with me just for a moment, what if your neighbor's house was on fire and you knew they were in there? I'm not going to wake them up because I just know they become irate when I just disturb them. I'll just let it burn. Friends, that's what we're thinking. Can you see how deceptive sometimes when we think about woe is me, how I might look? We do deal with insecurities, but you're the preachers. You're the preachers. You're the story. And if you feel that you are incapable, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Get your prayer language going on. Let the Holy Spirit use your tongue to speak the word of grace. Watch people's lives change forever. Watch people's lives change. Lord, I don't want anybody I know to not hear somewhere the love of God and how much the Lord has for them. So letter A, inspired by the Holy Spirit, certainly is a wonderful thing. Letter B, delivered to the human race. And we could see it's just listed there, but to us, verse 12 says, but to us. It wasn't for the prophets, but that message came, and the preachers got it, and they started preaching. Man, we understand, man, when those 12 disciples, and then kind of started getting that, just a change going on. They became apostles, and they gave their lives. They believed so much in what they were sharing. It cost them, but did it? How great is their salvation? How great is your salvation? How great will it be at your home going because you gave of your life? Would you encourage yourself to get a part of Radius 3 here at Hope Chapel? Would you help us to reach our 3-mile radius around Hope Chapel? We really need that. We need that today. Lives will be changed. And finally, let me just mention this. Number 3, angels will ponder it. Isn't that verse 12? We take a look here. Isn't that amazing? Verse 12, the latter part, that's why letter B, it says, the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Isn't that amazing? Angels are brought up. What? Why angels desiring to look? Why are they such in wonderment of this amazing gospel? You know the angels were a part of everything, right? They were there at the birth announcement to Mary. What a birth announcement with the angelic host singing to a bunch of little shepherds out there in the field. Angel was there at the tomb and the resurrection. I mean, angels are involved, but Scripture says, I see it. Can you see it? Man, things which angels desire to look into. That word desire literally means to an overwhelming impulse to say, I just want to keep going. But wouldn't you love to have a desire to keep coming into the Word of God? I just, overwhelming impulse. Get me into OSL. I just thought I'd throw that out there. To look into something, which means, man, you're just, literally the rendering in the Greek is, they're craning their neck to say, I don't like my vantage point. I'm going in a little closer. I want to see and understand. So why are angels so intrigued? First of all, it's worth noting, angels cannot be saved. There are fallen angels, there are fateful angels, there are good angels, and there are bad angels, but angels cannot be saved. This salvation you and I are talking about is exclusive for the human race. God gave his best for the worst. And so if anybody says, man, I'm not a good person, I need help, I need a savior, you're a candidate. You're a candidate. Heaven will be made up of all the wrong people who admitted it and said, I need a Savior. Hell's going to be made up of all the right people who said, I don't need a Savior. Who is this Jesus? So when we take a look at this, angels are inquiring what's going on. I think probably they're going to be really shocked because when they see how that a drug addict all of a sudden becomes a missionary, or that somehow you take a look at a person who is becoming such a criminal, all of a sudden turn their life around for God, become a preacher of the gospel. Or maybe somebody that's just the worst vile man language and a blasphemer of God becomes a born-again Christian. And you just realize, whoa, what a change. Those angels are shocked at that. How does that happen? Look at what God's doing in that salvation. I like, if you wouldn't mind, to open your Bibles to Luke 15. I'm going to welcome our worship team. Luke 15. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke 15. What an exciting book we have, the Bible. What a great salvation we're just taking a look at. What a message of hope to those that are just bumming, saying, is this all there is on this planet? Man, Scripture says, come on. God's been trying to give a message, and it's for you today. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 10. I think the angels ponder it because they rejoice to see it when a person gets born again. Look at what Jesus says. I'm in Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They start throwing a party. They are still desirous to say, this is amazing. And they've seen this throughout the centuries. Look at that person. Look at that whole village in a third world country get transformed by this salvation. And the angels rejoice. But one, just one. Wouldn't it be cool if we threw a party in this room because somebody said, man, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. The angels would rejoice. Matter of fact, look at verse 7, same chapter 15 of Luke. How many times did Jesus have to say it? I say to you, verse 7, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What an amazing journey. Friends, I just got to tell you, Scripture says very clearly, you who believe, you'll be co-heirs with Christ. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. I'm sure the angels are shocked when they discovered how that in 1 Corinthians 6, 3 through 7, that the Apostle Paul says, don't you know that you are going to judge the angels in heaven? So I think when you finally realize, why did my family dissolve? Why did my hopes get crushed? It was everyone and everything. And then you realize, you know, that was a demon. You know, and Jesus is there, co-heirs with Christ, and we judge even the angels. Interesting thought. But that is for spiritual people that understand, did the Scripture really say that? Angels inquire. Take a look at that. Well, the message of the gospel came to heaven, from heaven, and it seems as if the prophets announced it. The angels were intrigued by it. The living example was really just the church of Jesus, how God continues to work things out. Well, I've been thrilled to have this time with you. What an amazing God we have. What a great testimony. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite you, just close your Bibles, turn those apps off. Would you just join me for a moment? Let's sing this song, and let me come back, and we'll pray off a blessing. Let's stand to our feet. Would you join me now? I don't know if you have said yes to Jesus Christ, or maybe you said yes a long time ago, and now things, you're just not all engaged with God. What a great day to come back to the Lord. I want to pray with you and for you. I'm going to invite all of us actually just to say this prayer. There's probably a few of us that say, man, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus and to that salvation. Save me, Lord. Save me in this hour. Save me from my decisions. Save me for my future. I would encourage each of us to pray this prayer out loud while you close your eyes. It's a short little prayer. This could be that hour, that moment for you, because the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord Himself, saying, this is the time I want you to say yes to me. This prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus. Okay, let's try it again. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world and that you died and rose to life for me. Dear Jesus, forgive me all my sins. Wash me clean. And I invite you now, Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. Finally, Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Friends, still keep your eyes closed just for a moment. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or recommitted your life to the Lord, would you just lift your hand up and say, that's me. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Praise God. Anyone else? Just say, you know what? I'm not ashamed to say I prayed that and I'm wanting to have heaven know. Thank you. Anyone else? Praise God. Well, I rejoice in those three hands, and I want to thank you for that. Glory to God. And I may have missed some because of being a little dark, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. We have people that will be praying for you. I'm going to dismiss you. If we have our prayer individuals come forward, let them make sure that you let them pray a miracle for you. And if you gave your life to the Lord and you don't have a Bible, or you have the Lord in your life but you still don't have a Bible, our ushers will be glad to give you one of our burgundy Bibles and bless you with that. It's free, just like eternal life. I'm going to pray off a blessing. What a great day. I just want to thank the Lord. Would you join me with an applause and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for salvation, communion with people. So, Father, we love you and thank you for sending Jesus. And Holy Spirit, now you're actively working in each of our lives. Lord, for those that gave their life to you, bless them richly, grow them up quickly, and cause them to flourish and prosper. And those that gave their time to you this morning in the service of worship, Lord, bless them richly, prosper them completely, and let joy resonate in their heart. Bless each in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, you're dismissed. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.